Linda and the worship team. Maranatha, it was such a sweet song. It reminds me so much of my younger days with many brothers and sisters. Seeking the Lord with a pure heart, with a zeal. I'm afraid I don't see as much these days. In the past month and a half, and then for the next maybe 14 to 15 months, our home Bible study group is going through the Gospel of Luke. So today I'm just going to share some gleanings I have come to as I go through the book, the Gospel of Luke, with some brothers and sisters on Thursday nights. We all know that one of the reasons there are four Gospels in the Bible, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is because these are the four different portraits of the same Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus was such an amazing and rich a person that one book just not enough. And we also know that these four books look at Jesus from four different angles. We know that Matthew looked at Jesus, presented Jesus Christ as the royal king. And then Mark presented Jesus Christ as the faithful and diligent servant of God. And then the Gospel of John speaks of Jesus as a divine Son of God, the one who is from heaven. And then we have the Gospel of Luke, which presents Jesus Christ as the perfect man, as the humanity, as God. When God created Adam and Eve, what his original design for humanity was manifested in the life of Jesus Christ on earth. So as we go through the book of Luke, or the Gospel of Luke, our focus is looking at this person, Jesus Christ, as a man. We know that Jesus Christ, he is the true God and the true man. But in this book, we want to focus our attention on the manhood, on the humanity of Jesus Christ. And that's why I kind of entitled our focus on the whole Gospel of Luke is called Behold the Man. And this today, I title my talk here is Behold the Man in the Desert. Behold the Man in the Desert. And that the scripture we're going to read is Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Do we have it projected on the screen that we can read it together? If not, because we may have different versions, maybe I'll just read it for you. Okay? Luke chapter 4, verses... Huh? That's NIV. All right. Verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authorities and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all the tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Opportune time means a time that is well chosen. A time is chosen because it will be advantageous to him. So because we evidently could see that the devil did not succeed in tempting Jesus to sin or to do anything against the will of the Father. But we see at the end, although the devil acknowledged that he did not succeed now, but he will still look for other opportunities. And before we get into this text, I want to just very quickly remind us that right before this event, Jesus was baptized in the river of Jordan. And while he was being baptized, when he got out of the water, that we saw that the heaven opened and the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and alighted upon him. And then we hear the voice from heaven says that, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So we know Jesus has been confirmed by the voice of the Father from heaven that, "You are my beloved Son, and with you I'm well pleased." And then right after that, we come the genealogy of Jesus through the line of Joseph. And that genealogy went all the way back to David, to Abraham, and beyond that, even to Enoch, to Seth, and eventually to the first man, Adam. And it's very interestingly, in verse 38 of chapter 3, it says, "The son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. You notice that Adam was also called the son of God. And before that, we heard the voice from heaven saying Jesus Christ was the son of God. And now we come to this, our text here. Now, this is a very, very profound and rich portion of the scripture that we would only be able to get to some aspect of it and maybe just to scratch the surface a bit. But I hope that our talk today will kind of encourage you or inspire you to look deeper and think harder and into what all of this, why did Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert and to fast for 40 days and 40 nights and to become the weakest, physically speaking, and then he was tempted by the devil. Why did that have to happen? It did not happen by accident. It was planned. And it is the, if we say that the baptism of Jesus Christ was the inauguration of his public ministry, and then his being tempted in the wilderness will be the first proclamation of who he is as he was going to take on the responsibility and the mission that the Father has given him for him to become the man that will redeem the fallen human race. And the most significant thing about this portion of scripture is we see that the Son of God has become a man. And this man has come into a desert. Now, we all know a desert is a very, very dry and harsh place. We have very few signs of life in the desert. It is extremely hot. It's a baking hot during the day, yet it is very, very cold at night. And I think that the Lord chose this place to encounter the devil is telling us that he has come into this world, which is a world of barrenness. The world The Bible says that the world lays under the hand of the evil one. And the world is often likened to a desert. You look around, and the Bible says that without God, all men were dead in their sins and transgressions. There is no life apart from Christ. And there's no long-lasting comfort. There's no real heartfelt satisfaction in this world. It could be very hot one day, and yet the night will be very, very chilling cold. And it is in that place that Jesus came. Jesus came, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, at his weakest point, physically speaking, the devil came and to tempt him. And we're not going to be able to get into all the details of the significance of these temptations, but we can just say, first, there's three things I want to mention this morning. Number one, that Jesus defeated the devil as a man. Number two, that Jesus defeated the devil with the Word of God. And number three, that humanity still faces the same temptation today, but Jesus already defeated them. Let's look at the first thing about Jesus defeated the devil as a man. What is the significance of it? See, Jesus is God. It would be nothing for him to defeat the devil. Because the devil was only a creature. He is a created being. And a created being can never stand before his creator. So for Jesus to defeat the Satan, it has no glory in it. It's just like me stepping on the cockroach. And am I going to say, wow, look at me. I killed a cockroach. It's nothing. And it's even less for Jesus to defeat the devil as the Son of God. It is even less of an issue as than I stepping on the cockroach. But Jesus says he is here encountering this a battle, spiritual warfare with the devil, not as a Son of God, but as a man. Now, we just sang the song about our identity. This is about knowing our identity. This is about Jesus knowing his identity. When he, you see, the first temptation is that the devil said, if you are the Son of God, then you will turn the stones into bread because you're hungry. It's your rightful claim, privilege as a Son of God. But how did Jesus answer? He said, man does not live by bread alone. Jesus insisted he was facing the devil as a man. Now, as far the identity is concerned, I think this is something I think we all need to pay attention to. So here we see that the Adam was called the Son of God. Jesus was called the Son of God. Right? But what is the difference between Adam and Jesus? See, Adam was the first created man, but Jesus was the second person of the Trinity. Adam received the breath of life from God. But the scripture says, in him is life. In Jesus is life. And Adam was created innocent, but corrupted by sin later. While Jesus came into the world, it's sinless. He's sinless, and he has a perfect humanity. And Adam was created from dust, and the Bible says, from dust you come, and to dust you shall return. But Jesus was from heaven. He came to this earth, but now he returned to heaven. And Adam, as a fallen sinner, was separated from God by sin. While Jesus Christ was, is, and will always be the beloved of the Father. You see the difference? And so, Adam was the Son of God only in the sense that he received the life from God. He was a creature of God. But Jesus Christ, as a Son of God, he is equal with God. He is the equal in essence with God. And he is the second person of the Trinity. And he is God himself. So that's a very important distinction. But there's something else that's important for all of us when it comes to our identity as Christians. Because we, as Christians, we have an identity that is a new identity. We call it identity in Christ. Ephesians tells us that we were chosen by God before the foundation of the world in Christ. And in Christ, we have been adopted as sons and daughters of God. So we, number one, we are new creation in Christ, different than our old identity as the created by God, like Adam. And we are born of the Spirit. And then we are redeemed and justified by the blood of Jesus. And from earth, we are from earth, but we're journeying to heaven. Our destination is no longer earth. Our destination is heaven. And then also, instead of being separated from God by sin, we are reconciled and loved by God. That is our new identity in Christ. It is very important for us to know that. Because in order for what Jesus did in the desert be significant and meaningful to us, we have to recognize our new identity in Christ. Quickly, second thing about Jesus defeated the devil with the word of God. Every time when the devil tried to tempt Jesus, he uses the scripture. And we'll talk about that later. And Jesus always reply with the scripture. Okay? It is very interesting if we think about it. Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning there was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then he said, the Word became flesh and dwelling among us. He was talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Okay? But in the Greek language, we will realize that there's two Greek words that are translated into word or Chinese, Tao, right? But two different words. One is logos, and the other one is rhema. Okay? So when in the beginning there was logos. So the logos is the word of God. It is the all-inclusive expression of God. Who God is revealed in logos. But rhema is different. Rhema is the word of God that is freshly spoken from the mouth of God. The difference is almost like One is my I writing a letter to my wife. And the other one is I speak to my wife face to face. It may be the same words, but has different, they have different significance and different power. Okay? Now, why is that important? Because here, that when Jesus, the incarnate Word of God, incarnate Logos, talked to Satan, the word that comes out of his mouth becomes Rhema. All right? Now, of course the devil knows that. Of course the devil knows that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the Logos. But the devil challenged him anyway. The devil tried to tempt him anyway. But when the Word speaks from the mouth of Jesus Christ, it becomes Rhema, it became powerful, is so powerful that the devil was defeated. He had no rebuttal. He has no, he cannot respond. He had to accept it. Now, this is extremely important for us to understand. See, the scripture tells us that when we talk about engaging in the spiritual warfare with the devil, what is our only weapon that we can attack? Anybody can tell me? What does Ephesians chapter 6 tells us? Huh? That's right. The word of the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Now, if we think about it carefully, okay? In John 6:63, Jesus himself says, "My words are spirit and life." So now, when we quote scriptures, okay? Let me say it another way. Okay, when we quote scriptures, is it just us quoting scriptures? Or is it the Holy Spirit in us speaking through us? There's a big difference. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And it is powerful. And there's no equal to that. Right? And Jesus had demonstrated. By speaking, the Word of God become the living Word that's the power of God is in it. The power of the Word of God is in it. But it has to be what? Spoken through us by the Holy Spirit in us. And that's something I can't get deep into it now, but let's remember this, okay? That by dryly quoting scripture does not mean anything. You can read the Bible over and over again. Does not mean anything. If the Holy Spirit is not quickening in you, is not opening the Word in you, and is not speaking the Word through you. Okay, the third point. The humanity still faces the same temptation Jesus defeated then. And what is the nature, the general nature of these three temptations? One is that you turn the stone into food. Secondly, you see all the authority and splendor of the kingdoms of the world. The third one is that, hey, if you are the Son of God, show me. Jump off the top of the temple and see if God will hold you up. These three temptations are pretty much in the same characteristic of what we so called the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Eve saw the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did she think? She said, oh, the food is good. The fruit is good for food and is pleasing to the eye and it'll make me wise like God. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, John says, yeah, these things, the pride of the flesh, the pride of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they are from the world. They're not from God. And you and I look at our lives, we know all what the devil can do to tempt us are about those three type of things. So, I just want to quickly conclude that Jesus Christ, he defeated the devil as the man. He is called the last Adam as the head of the new creation. And he defeated the ancient serpent. So we know that Satan is a defeated enemy. Secondly, that Jesus defeated the devil as the second man. Meaning that in Christ, we are all part of the new man in Christ. And his victory is our victory. We too can stand on the ground of his victory and never be defeated by the trickeries of the devil. So I just want to end quickly with a warning for all of us, which is the last verse that says that the devil departed until an opportune time. Our enemy, although was defeated by Jesus Christ, but he was still looking for opportunities. Not only to tempt Jesus again, but he is lurking around to trip us today. But we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we have the written word in our hands. And these are the two together are the weapons for victory in the spiritual warfare we face every day. So please remember, my words are spirit and life, and the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. May we be encouraged and be strengthened and be wise through our journey from earth into heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, in the glory, and the scripture says that he will bring many sons into glory. Amen? Let's pray. Father, your word truly is precious. And your word is mighty when it's spoken from the mouth of Jesus Christ. And when it's spoken by the Holy Spirit through us. And it is the power of your word that is sustaining the whole creation today. And may we be aware of that. It is not the power of our own. It is not the power of our own words. But as we yield our life to you, and as we obediently live a life that according to your purpose, and as we rely on the power that has risen Jesus Christ, raised Jesus Christ from the dead, which is now working so mightily in us. It is in what you have accomplished that we have the confidence that we too can live a victorious life. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.